solitaire must be a rolling stone. Down every road there's always one more city. I'm on the run, the highway is my home.
Hi everybody, talking Fugitive with Kitty and Bobby and Ken, and hopefully with you, if you want to get on the line and participate, is on the air. Another 30 minutes of, what is it, in-depth discussion of the program, The Fugitive. Tonight we're going to be featuring Kimball Siblings, I believe. It's the program Home is the Hunted, and we'll find out. I didn't know Kimball had a family, so it'll all be news to me. If you want to participate in the program, 800-407-KSAV. And if you want to participate by email during the broadcast only, talk at ksav.org. Any other time to reach the any of our multiple hosts, Fugitive at ksav.org. All right, Home is the Hunted, and to kick things off, here is Bobby Neer.
Thank you very much, Dave. Well, you didn't know that Kimball had siblings, and neither did we either, when we, those of us who were watching the original series, because after 14 episodes of having there been no mention at all of any family, no brothers, no sisters, no mother, no father, nothing, suddenly in the middle of the season one on episode 15, the producers seemed to decide that maybe it would be a good idea if they mentioned that the man does have a family somewhere. We've seen nothing of them up until this point. And in fact, we saw in the previous episode, The Girl from Little Egypt, we even saw flashback scenes. There was no family around, no family in the courtroom, nobody, which of course makes no sense. There has to be a family somewhere. He wasn't simply abandoned. And so suddenly on episode 15, they send him back to Stafford, Indiana. And the reason for this is that his father has taken ill. He's had a heart attack, and he is not doing well. So Kimball feels as though he has to go home to see him, what may well be for the very last time. And so he does go back. He sneaks into town. And in the very opening scene, we meet meet two characters in this particular episode, one that will stay until the end of the series, and the other one who will come and go in a hurry in this one episode. So we'll start out in this portion of the show talking about a very beloved character, and that's Kimball's sister, Donna. And we meet her right away at the beginning of the episode when Kimball comes to town, and he gets in a phone booth, and he calls up to say that he's there. And this is an absolutely sensational scene. It's extremely emotional. He calls up, and we see his sister for the first time, played by actress Jacqueline Scott. And she does simply a fantastic job here with a dazzling array of emotions, picking up the phone at first, not believing it's him, because she hasn't seen him supposedly for 2 years, so the narrator tells us, and then being happy, starting to cry, starting to laugh. It's a marvelous moment in the series. May well be the best individual performance. It only lasts, just watched it last night, and it only lasts about a minute and 10 seconds. But it's absolutely great. And he's on the phone talking to her, and he gets angry with her, and he tells her, you know, don't go to pieces, because I have enough problems, I don't need this too. And she stops, but we still see her, and she's, instead of using it through what she's saying, she starts having facial mannerisms and using her hands, putting it up to her head, to her mouth, and everywhere. It's a really fantastic performance by Jacqueline Scott. And I liken this performance to several others I've mentioned in the past, that are critically important. In the very first episode of the series, in the pilot episode, we see Kimball telling his story to Monica Wells for the very first time about who he is and how he was accused and convicted of murder, but that he didn't do it. He's got tears in his eyes, and he sells it to us right away. We have to believe it right then and there that he's really innocent in order to continue the series. And then in our last episode that we spent 2 months talking about, in Landscape with Running Figures, we have a great performance by Barbara Rush, who has to tell us right away, explain to us exactly how put upon Marie Gerard has been, how she's been abandoned, and how difficult life has become for her in order to believe what she does afterwards. Same thing here. Jacqueline Scott has to show us just in 1 minute exactly how close she is to her brother. Otherwise, it really makes no sense for Kimball to even come back home. Imagine, here's a man running around the country to try to stay free, who's coming back to his hometown where Gerard is. I mean, that is where he works. This is a ridiculous thing to do. The only way to believe this is that he's got strong ties back to his family. Donna is the most beloved character in The Fugitive, in my opinion, other than Kimball himself. I've never talked to anybody, never met anybody who doesn't like her, and she's only in the series for, I believe, 5 episodes over 4 years. And yet, every time she's in it, she has this great impact. I think the reason why everybody loves her is because she has no personal agenda in this story, and that's unusual. Everybody else has a personal agenda. Kimball has to stay free. He doesn't want to die for a crime he didn't commit. Gerard has a personal agenda. He wants to catch him because he got away when he was watching him. And the one-armed man has a personal agenda. He doesn't want to face a prison sentence for a crime he knew he committed. Donna has none of that. All she does is care about her brother. She loves her brother, and she wants him to stay free and stay safe, and that's it. That's about as pure a love as you can get. There's nothing in it for her other than to save him. And I think that's really what's at work here. At least it is for me. Kitty, I know you've got some comments to read from 2 of our members, and then you and Ken can take it the rest of the way and talk about Donna.
Okay. Well, let's see. This first one is from Paul, and he writes about Donna. He says, "How important is Donna to this series? Donna Kimball Taft appeared in 5 episodes of The Fugitive, Home is the Hunted, Trial by Fire, Running Scared, and The Judgments, Part 1 and 2. She is a beloved and pivotal character, one of the few recurring roles played by the same actress, and a fan favorite, not just for that reason, but because she provides a link to Kimball's life before he went on the lam, adding color, figuratively, and depth to the fugitive backstory. On the surface, her contribution to the series as a whole doesn't add up to all that much. To those 5 episodes in which she appeared, she was a key character, but not very far removed from any other female guest star who aided the fugitive. Instead of the standard romantic and sexual love interest, here we have sisterly love and admiration. But all the other requisite boxes are checked. She gets to play off a suspicious Gerard. She gets to hide Kimball from the police. She gets to chase leads. She gets some good dramatic material and gets to play a wide range of emotions. Unlike the sister who appeared in The Fugitive 2000, Donna 1963 only appeared here and there, and it is only when looking at the series as a whole that she becomes a truly important part of the series' mythology. Her importance to Richard Kimball was unquestionable. You state that these two have formed a very special and enduring bond that will never be broken, and that can't be refuted. She is Dr. Kimball's rock. She is a fighter who will defend her brother to the end." And then Phil wrote, "I think Donna is important in that Richard has someone that he can contact from time to time with news of his case, whether Gerard is out of town looking for him, or just a sanctuary that he can think of something else, take a breath from his dreary existence. She provides the moral assistance he needs to keep up his search and to clear his name. She is an island of sanity in his insane world. I think the problem with Ray was pretty much explained in the episode, Home is the Hunted. To me, it was an extension of the sibling jealousy Ray had for Richard as they grew older. Richard was the excuse he needed to not persevere in his life and career. He was the youngest child and felt he never got the attention from his father that he felt he deserved." I'll save the last part about Ray for when we come back from the break. But I think what they're saying about Donna is I'd say spot on. You know, she really does provide a rock for Kimball, and you know, and I think she certainly adds to the series. So far I've seen her in 2 episodes, and it's kind of a shame that we don't get to see her a little more often, because she is a very strong character, and it is great to see Kimball with a link to his past. One of the things I faulted the show with is a lack of continuity, and it's really amazing when you have a show that doesn't have that much continuity in it for being an anthology series, Donna actually does represent some continuity. What do you think, Ken?
Oh, I agree with everything that's been said. I'll surprise you guys. I like to do that. I think Donna should have been in the pilot episode even before Fear in a Desert City. I'm going to get on the producers of the series again. You need to start this series in a different way, in my opinion. In the first episode, I would have had Donna. I would have introduced her character, you know, along with Helen and also Gerard, and then go from there. I'm kind of upset that it took 15 episodes to get introduced to Donna, because she is crucial for the whole series. And I'm also upset that they only used her 5 times. I would have maybe 10 to 15 times would have been perfect for me. You know, you can bring her back, and it doesn't have to be a rescue situation. You can just have her part of the Fugitive series. And Jacqueline Scott, but I will say this to the producers, Jacqueline Scott was the perfect choice to play Donna. And Dave, she's one of the women I have on my poster in my office.
Thank you. I was about to ask that.
And I love her, and every time she shows up, I've given a 10 rating to the episode.
Oh, I thought to the poster.
Oh, but she just makes the episode. And in Home and the Hunted, she just steals the show. Her presence is outstanding.
Well, yeah. I won't argue with any of that. I think it would have been a great idea to have her on at the beginning. I don't know about 15 times in the series, only because he's running around the country and he's not going to have a lot of chances to meet her if you're talking about them just talking on the phone. I think maybe you can overdo that. I would agree 5 is awfully low. As far as not starting it until the 15th episode, that's typical of the way they do the entire series. As you watch the series, you begin to believe that they're actually doing it, they're making it up as they go along, that there's no pre-planning of any kind. They're just doing stories as they go along, and that at some point they think to themselves, well, you know, we've done 14 stories. Maybe we should suggest that the man has a family, and we'll send them back there to meet them. And I don't see any evidence anywhere. Kitty talks about continuity. There isn't any. I mean, they're throwing darts on the dartboard. They're just, you know, they're just coming up with things, and that's why there's no link anywhere. And that's one of the problems with the episode. I want to mention before we get to the break that anybody who's familiar with Ed Robertson's book, The Fugitive Recaptured, knows that he tells a story about how in that opening scene with them talking on the telephone, Jacqueline Scott had insisted that David Janssen be on the set the day she did her part of that phone conversation. Everybody knows that in TV series and in movies they don't do it that way, that if somebody's talking on the phone, the person they're talking to isn't even on the set that day. They're just being fed lines off to the side. And she thought that it would be better and it would look better if he actually was there reading his lines, even though he's not really on camera while she's talking on the phone. And she was right. I mean, you can see it right on the screen. It's just amazing how much additional emotion there is there, because she insisted that he be there. So somehow, don't ask me how, I don't know how an actress simply creates a part out of nowhere just based on a little bit of writing and puts that much emotion in it, but she does it, and I think that she sells it right then and there. But, you know, I'm not really going to argue with the concept of having her at the beginning, because there's always this feeling, and Kitty and I are always raining about this, that you can never go back in this series to a place to begin.
All right. I want to take a quick time out. You know, I'm going to throw up a question. You don't have to answer it. It struck me that Gerard is like a dog chasing a car, isn't it? What in the hell would he do if he actually caught the guy? He would have no more life. All right. We're going to take a time out for these important messages. When we come back, we're going to find out about Brother Raymond, when we continue to talk about Home is the Hunted. And if you want to join in, it's 800-407-KSAV. This is Sherevision Radio.
Hi, everybody. I'm Dave White. And with me today are Dr. Phil.
Hello.
Homer Simpson.
Woohoo!
And Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Good morning.
These guys are here to help me tell you about my program, Talkin' Television with Dave White on KSAV.
I have a feeling some bad stuff is about to go down.
Every Tuesday from 7:30 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time, we have a fun discussion of television past and present.
Is that the truth or a lie?
What do you guys think of my program?
A load of crap.
Boring.
Outrageous.
And what about my co-host, television guru Tim Carmody?
The drum pimp.
Jerkass! But don't take their word for it. Tune in and join in every Tuesday, 7:30 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time on KSAV.
Stay with KSAV.
All right, so we're talking about the one man that stayed off of the rock pile, Richard Kimble. And the episode discussing tonight is Home is the Hunted. But this isn't going to be a multiple part thing. When the program comes, when you guys come back in 2 weeks, what's going to be up then?
Well, we're going to meet the rest of the Kimble family. Also has a father who's also a doctor. And Donna also has a couple of children and his brother-in-law. Will play a bigger part later on in the series. So there's the rest of the family to meet yet.
All right, very good. Well, let's pick up with Brother Raymond here now. So, Bob, you take it away.
Okay. For all of the great love everybody has for Donna, sadly is not the same when it comes to his brother. As a matter of fact, if this had been on many, many years later, they might have called it Everybody Doesn't Like Raymond. And the fact of the matter is he's very unpleasant. And we meet him right after we meet Donna. He comes home. This is after Kimball has met his sister. They've had an emotional meeting in an upstairs bedroom, and everything is fine. Ray comes back, and they meet, I believe, in the kitchen or somewhere like that. And Kimball goes to embrace him when he sees his brother after all this time. And instead of doing that, Ray sticks out his hand to shake his hand. So right away, you can see that there is trouble here. And that Ray is not the least bit interested in seeing his brother come back to town. They talk for a few minutes, and we get this very, very long story that his brother tells about how Richard's conviction for murder has ruined his life, how everybody in town holds it against him somehow, and that it's made his life miserable to be a part of the Kimball family. He's blaming this on his brother. He tells a long story about how he was engaged at one time, and that then the murder came up and the trial, and his fiancée's family turned against him because they believed that Kimball was guilty. He talks about how he can't keep a job, that right away everything's fine for a while, but then as soon as the boss finds out that he's Richard Kimball's his brother, he gets fired. Everything in his life is a mess because of his brother. He simply can't be a part of the family. This seems very bizarre to me. It doesn't make a bit of sense because I don't know that we see real-life cases on TV all the time. And I don't know that people hold the sins of a brother against the other brother or against anybody else in the family. And if this is true, I have to wonder why it didn't happen with Donna. Why is Donna having no trouble at all? What is the problem here? So it strikes me that Ray really is using this as a crutch. There's really something wrong with him. He's dysfunctional. He simply doesn't want to face it, so he's using this instead. So they have this emotional meeting. They even come to blows at one time, and in fact, Richard hauls off and slaps him, which is very unusual. You don't usually see Kimball doing that kind of thing, so they have a very, very bad relationship, and it's tied into all kinds of things. The fact that Ray believes that his father never really liked him. He always favored Richard instead. It's a little soap opera-ish. It's interesting, but I don't know that a lot of it really makes sense, and it becomes obvious right away. There's nothing going on here. It's not about Kimball and what he's done. It's about Raymond and his problems of not being able to get along in life and just blaming his brother. Kitty, I know you have some more comments to read about Ray.
Okay. Yes, I do. And I also would like to say that I think it's interesting that when this episode aired, it aired after Girl from Little Egypt. So one week we got to meet Helen, and then the very next week we got to meet the family. I mean, I don't know if this was that much of a big thought on the part of the producers, but I do think it's interesting that we all of a sudden got introduced to all these people just in a two-week period of time. But what Paul says is, why does no one in the Kimball family seem to bear the same burden of Richard's conviction the way that Ray does? Is his resentment justified, or does he have issues of his own that are causing trouble in his life? I think Ray's perspective was blighted by his own experiences. He wanted to believe his brother's innocence, but he was personally hurt by the aftermath of the trial. His fiance left him. He couldn't keep down a job. He was escaped murderer Richard Kimball's brother. Ray was a good, well-crafted character with a neat split right down the middle. Lots of great conflict in there. We know he's wrong, but we can sympathize with him alongside Kimball and root for the two of them to reunite. And perhaps Kimball's own mother took Ray's stance. She made no appearance any time Kimball returned to the neighborhood, and it would seem he had no contact with her in any of those Return to Stafford episodes. And lastly, why did the producers quickly decide to write Brother Ray completely out of the story after just one appearance? From a critical standpoint, I'd say Ray didn't make another appearance because his story ended with Home as the Hunted. Ray's arc was really the core of that episode. Kimball needing to convince his own brother of his innocence, where could they have gone after that show with the character of Ray? Well, probably many directions, but I think they were wise to leave him alone. After he accepts his brother's innocence, he becomes boring. Donna already has the function of being the helpful sibling. Throw Ray into that mix, and the stories could have got a little crowded, like we don't need to see John Kimball after Home. We didn't really need to see Ray either. And the last thing that Phil writes about Ray, he says, I think that Ray was written out to keep the storyline more streamlined and not have too many subplots. I think in the 60s, writers subscribed to the KISS method, keep it simple, stupid. Just a couple of thoughts I had. Hope you can use them and expand on them. And I think those are some good points, but I think it's also the easy way out, because here it is, you've got a very interesting character of Ray who Richard could have bumped into down the road in another episode, and instead we get a lot of episodes in this series where they're rehashing old plot lines. In fact, we reviewed one a couple of weeks ago that I won't mention because I don't want to get into it, but that it was basically an old script rehashed with the same actress playing the same type of part. And it's a shame that we couldn't have maybe seen an episode about Ray in that instance. But I do like the character of Ray, and I don't know that I ever really thought that he really thought Kimball was guilty, because he certainly did not want his brother to get caught. In the first time we see Ray and Donna talking, Donna says, Ray, your brother's in town. And he says, what? Did he turn himself in or did he get caught? And she says, no. I mean, he was genuinely concerned that he was in police custody there. So he does not want his brother to get caught. It shows that he genuinely does care about him, but he does dislike him because he thinks Richard's conviction has ruined his life. I don't buy into the idea that Paul said that Kimball's mother took Ray's stance because we never saw her. The fact that we never saw her or saw any mention of her in that episode tells me that we're supposed to accept that Mom is dead. If Mom were very much alive and well, I can't believe that nobody would say anything about Mom. I can't believe he wouldn't say, where's Mom? Anyway, your comments, Ken.
Very interesting about Ray. I would have used a little flashback with him and Richard together. And the flashback is not way back, but just, Kimball had a trial, right? And I assume that the family members would get to talk to Richard here and there, maybe before or after, or if he's locked up, maybe they get visitation rights. maybe a little flashback scene there with Ray visiting Richard, and Richard explains what happened, and he's clear on everything. But just to pop Ray into this home in the Home is the Hunted episode, and right away, bad feelings. Well, we don't know what happened. And then he has to explain everything. So I wanted a little history explained to me. I'm the kind of guy, don't just surprise me out of the blue. You know, show us maybe what happened between Richard and Ray, and then develop it on later. And I agree, Ray should have popped up later in the series.
Yeah, I mean, at least one more time it would have been nice to have seen him. At the very least, where was he at the end when Richard got exonerated?
I would say use Ray about five times. And I would have used the father another time also. That's just me. You know, I'm always looking at different storylines. But this Fugitive series, you know, really is all over the map. And, you know, the way it got started, and I agree with you, Kitty, some of the episodes throughout the series were wasted. They could have used Ray, they could have used Donna, and why not use Kimbo's mother? That would have been a heart-wrenching scene to see Kimbo and his mother together here and there. You know, Bob, ever answered? Why no Kimbo's mother?
Well, but that's just part of what they do throughout the series. They do as much as they need to do to get away with it, and they don't go any further than that. I mean, this is a case, I think, of just kind of slumming. Just do enough that you have to do and not go any further. They have a successful series, so they don't feel the need to talk about those things from the past, and so they don't do it. And that's really a pity, and that the series, as good as it is, could have been even better. We always talk about that. I want to mention one thing. I watched this episode again last night, and Ray keeps on saying that everybody's holding the fact of what happened to his brother against him. And if that's true, I would like to know why it is. You know, he's a race car driver in this episode. He's got this little race car he's running around Stafford in. Did you notice that on the side of the race car it says Kimball Special? Now, if he doesn't want to be aligned with his brother, why does he have that written on his car?
Yeah.
It seems to me that during the race, people will be saying, I don't know who's going to win, but I hope it isn't the guy who's driving the car that says Kimball Special on it. That's all I know. So that's kind of ridiculous. And there's another part when he talks about going in the back alleys. He's drinking too much. He's visiting back alleys. What is he doing in those back alleys? We have a little scene there after they have a confrontation where Ray is seen coming out of this rather seedy-looking apartment or something, and a woman comes to the door just as he's leaving. I don't know whether that's his girlfriend or a prostitute or whatever it is.
I got the impression it was supposed to be a prostitute.
Yeah, me too.
Well, what's he doing in back alleys? I mean, you don't go to a back alley to visit a prostitute. You don't do any business back there. So he can only be in back alleys getting drunk.
Well, I still think that Ray had a really killer automobile. I like that one. Okay, we're out of time for tonight, but we'll be back in 2 weeks and meet some more of Kimball's family. Thanks to the host. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Getting to Know You with Susan McCrae and her guest week, Pam Roiland. And in 1 hour, Talking Television with Dave White, and we'll be discussing television news, for better or worse, and everybody has something to do or an opinion about that. Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll see all of you again in 2 weeks on Sherevision Radio.